This week, we're going to replay an episode that I did with Sharda Serum on the 10X Growth podcast about one of my very favorite books, The Untethered Soul. In my new book, Bounce Back Stronger, the Mind Game chapter is all about this book. And this book really saved me in a really difficult time, so I hope you will take a listen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 10X Growth Strategies podcast. This is your host, Sharda Serum, business technology strategist. We have with us today, Donna Yates-Ferris. Donna has an MBA in finance, a chartered financial analyst designation. She has successfully navigated a corporate career for the last three decades in corporate sales and product management while raising two kids, writing for multiple publications, publishing a memoir, and leading a thriving coaching business. During her years in corporate life, she has participated in multiple mentoring programs that focused on shaping younger professionals into executives. She also has a yoga teacher and a three-year yoga therapy certification, which included therapy for grief, addiction and coaching training, and the inner MBA certification, serves as a Kripalu Retreat presenter, host of the Bounce Back Stronger podcast, frequent speaker on the topics of grief, forming habits, navigating change, life purpose, and creating your way out of difficult times. Welcome to our podcast, Donna. Tell us about how you took to yoga and how it has helped with your family, work, and community.
Thank you so much for having me. Yoga has been an interesting pursuit for me. I started doing yoga because I knew I needed something more. I'd done therapy for a long period of time. I have anxiety, and that's worked really well for me a lot of times in work, frankly, but it can make it really difficult for you. So I came to yoga as a way. I was like, I had done everything else and it kept calling to me, and I kept walking past this yoga studio and I went in, which is half the battle. And what I found when I did yoga is a lot of things that had been bottled up inside of me unwound, you know, childhood abuse, my marriage actually unwound too, because it wasn't really healthy for me. So I found it really unleashed a lot of energy and a lot of things that were bottled up into the good in the end.
That's interesting to know about your background, because the city I come from back in India is a center, a hotbed for yoga. So I have practiced yoga over several years, and also with you in your classes. So all of us come with very different perspectives into yoga and how we assimilate that into our lives. I really like what you're doing with it and how you are spreading it within the community too. So thank you for doing that.
Oh,
the book
thank you.
We are talking to, you know, about today is The Untethered Soul by Michael A. Singer. It's a very thought-provoking book that delves into the nature of consciousness and the pursuit of inner freedom. You should talk to us about some of the concepts or ideas from the book that has resonated with you and tell us why.
Thank you. I appreciate you highlighting this book in particular. So on one of the most difficult days of my life, somebody that I loved very dearly, my fiancé at the time, had left me and had gone to the Amish market nearby us to get some stuff for the Super Bowl. It's interesting timing because we're recording this around the Super Bowl too. And I picked up this book. It had been sitting on my bookshelf for a very long time, but I, you know, like many of us, right, we have a long to be read pile. And this one happened to be that day that I picked it up, and I read this quote that said, "What if you could be in a mindset where no matter what happened that day, you could withstand it and overcome it." I actually highlighted it because I was like, well, that would be great. It's an idea I had been thinking about for a long time. It's kind of, you know, it's around the peace that passes all understanding, which shows up in a lot of religious wisdom texts. And I, you know, just this idea, like no matter what any comes to me, I could be peaceful. Well, later that day, the person that I loved had a massive stroke, and that book I dropped in my bag. And then over the next 9 days, I read it, and it really provided a tremendous amount of support in a time that was really, really difficult for me. So that book really changed my life. I don't know, maybe I would have gotten through it anyway, but I think the ideas of the book really helped me a lot in that time.
Sorry to hear about your experience, but thank you again for sharing, you know, how the book helped you through that process. Can you talk to us a couple of ideas from the book that you resonated with and how that helped you through the process?
Yeah, I one of the big parts of the book is that our soul, which is the idea of the untethered soul, is separate from the thinking and the things that go on in our lives and the way we're impacted and how we see things even. So it's an interesting idea where a lot of us, especially with anxiety and depression, will almost be deluged with our thoughts, right? And then the thoughts can be not that pleasant, right? They can be very negative. They can say, "Why did you do that? That was stupid." They're not very nice to you. And the idea of the book is that those thoughts aren't really you, right? And they're something that you can befriend and maybe control, but maybe befriend is probably the best idea. And they tend to get more agitated the more agitated you are. So knowing that can be really, really helpful. That was incredibly helpful for me to understand that those thoughts are not really real. They're just something that happens to us as we try to make sense of the world around us and we create these stories and concepts that we can change. And that's incredibly empowering, I think.
So, as you are talking through this, did you have to go through situations where you had to focus on the present moment and let go of a few things?
Yeah, I think that's really an important concept here too, is that because a lot of those thoughts are ruminating about the past or worrying about the future, especially in anxiety, getting in the present moment of notice, knowing that you're perfectly fine is really, really helpful. Because a lot of the reason we get so agitated is these are historical things, right? They're cultural things that we've learned to try to prevent our bad things from happening. We think that if we worry about it and plan enough about it, it won't happen. Or it won't be as bad. And the reality is that's not true. The only thing that we really have at any one time is the moment that we're in right now. And we really can't control the future. And if you've ever made plans and they've been completely dashed, you know what I mean. It is not something that we can really control. So staying in the present moment and realizing that it's all we have and that it's really precious is incredibly helpful in a lot of ways.
All of us, who've gone through this pandemic, we've all built a lot of resilience through that. And you bring a very important point of learning to adapt when things don't go as planned, to reorganize and work through the situation. Talk to me a little bit about, especially since you have this podcast that you work on, Bouncing Back Stronger. So I know that is not, it is aspirational, but how do you put that to practice, and especially taking ideas from this book, and how have you been able to process your things that unfortunate things that have happened in your life? How do you pivot and carry on with your daily life?
Thank you. Well, thanks for bringing up the podcast. It's Bounce Back Stronger, and the book is Bounce Back Stronger. It is important, I think, right away to know that we can bounce back. That's probably the number one thing. And there is a idea here of a persona that can bounce back. And it's kind of like any time, like when in the beginning of the year, we start to think about, oh, I want to lose weight, or oh, I want to be a healthier person. And you want to take on that mindset and that persona of that healthy person. We're doing the same thing here. You can bounce back. You can live with the things that happen with you and learn to maybe even use them as learnings and opportunities. Like for me, for example, when my fiance died, which is eventually what happened in those 9 days that I mentioned before, I learned a lot about myself. That grief was incredibly hard and I had to get through it. And I certainly still feel it at times today. But I became a different person after that because I realized how important every moment was. And I sweated the small stuff a lot less. And I take every moment, not every moment, but a lot more moments to heart as being important. So those are the things that we can learn when we learn that we can be resilient and we can learn that we can come back from things. We wouldn't, if you see somebody that's never had anything go wrong, they tend not to take things being as important as those of us that have had loss. And I just did a podcast with Sharon Salzberg, who's a pretty well-known meditation teacher. And she said when she was first really young, she was like 19, I think, when she first started teaching. And this woman that she had met in India said to her, "Well, you're going to go back to America and you're going to teach." And she's like, "No, I'm not." And the woman says, "Yes, you are." And they went back and forth a bunch of times. And it's much funnier when you hear Sharon say it. And the woman said, "Yes, you are, because you've had such tremendous suffering. And that is what's going to make you a tremendous teacher, because you understand what it means to suffer. And that is why you need to teach meditation and teach how to be mindful and help others that have been through suffering." And I think that's what I'm trying to do. And I think that's what we all can do is learn from our suffering and turn it into things that are of benefit, because life becomes so much precious when we realize that we can lose everything. So I think it's really important to take it seriously.
I like how you're segueing into, you know, meditation, and we can talk a little bit about mindfulness. But before we go there, one other topic that I want to discuss from the book, and I see you practice that also, is letting go of your fears and reframing your thought process and not living in the pain of what happened. So do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I think a lot of our resistance to a lot of things comes from this not wanting to feel things and being really uncomfortable with our emotions. And maybe it's because we weren't allowed to have big feelings as kids. I think at least that's certainly my case. And so I think we didn't know how to deal with it, and especially like anger and sadness. Anger is big, though. I think especially for women, I think we have a hard time expressing anger, and we get really scared of it because we get in trouble because we're angry, or when we've done things that are anger related. And it's really important to not be afraid of our feelings and to let them, as you're saying, let them go or flow. A lot of times, again, we resist things. And if we would just let them come over us and wash over us, and that's a big part of the untethered soul, is we breathe them in and we let them go. And then the resistance is gone. The sting of it is gone. And we don't get stuck. You know, a lot of people get stuck in grief for decades because they get stuck in the moment of the passing of somebody, or the moments before if they were taking care of somebody for long periods of time. And it's really important to honor that, right? And again, feel it. And, you know, if it's trauma, to work with somebody on trauma, you know, you can do emotional freedom technique or EMDR, or, you know, work with a therapist around the trauma, and then let it go. And then try to remember the happy memories. This is a big part of grief work, is trying to remember the happy memories about the person and the situation. Even if it's a job that you left under difficult circumstances, there's still people there that you probably care about, or, you know, situations or things that you learn from them that you build on, and look at it that way. I mean, I've had a ton of really difficult bosses over the years. I'm writing about one of them that I'm going to kill in my book next coming up. But so there's a lot of ways that you can deal with these feelings in a more positive and creative way, as opposed to holding on to them and allowing them to bring you down.
Talking about bosses and the corporate life, I know that we all have busy jobs, busy lives. We're working in niche technology and have strong deadlines approaching. And we're constantly context switching through the day. You know, you're going from meeting to meeting. You have personal things that you're looking at. And especially, again, going back a little bit to the pandemic, where all of us had a constant fear, you know, in our heads of what's going to happen next. So how did you manage through this whole process? Talk to us a little bit about how taking a breather between meetings or centering yourself. You talk a lot about this book, as well as you also focus on maybe practicing gratitude breaks during the day.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite ones. Yeah, because I think we know that there are practices that will make us healthier or happier, but we don't do them because they're hard. It's hard to remember. But what I have done, and I tell people do, is put 5-minute gratitude breaks on their calendar, and just make them recurring like you do everything else. And they're really helpful. It doesn't mean that you're going to meditate in that 5 minutes, but it's unbelievable how it'll pop up when you just need it, right? So I was going through one of these big transitions in October, and I had one of these gratitude breaks on my computer, and I was the one that was showing my computer that day. And right in the moment that I needed it, this thing popped up. It said gratitude. And, you know, it was funny. I needed it at that moment because I was having a moment. It was just a lot of swirling energy around me. A lot of people were really difficult at that time. And it just was really important for me to go, wait a minute, but I'm thankful I have the job. I'm thankful that I have the moment, because we can get all swirled up. And again, it's back to these thoughts, right, that we were talking about earlier, that you can get really tied up in those thoughts, and it can affect how you're going to act. And it's really important to know that they're just thoughts. They're not real. And if you can just take a moment and reframe it for a second in gratitude, it can be really helpful. And what was funny about that is one of my favorite coworkers that I work with now, later on in the day, somebody had said, you have to give, you know, it's one of those stupid things where they say, well, give me one word, you know, or one phrase about the day. And one of my coworkers, and she knew my practice, and she said, gratitude. And I was pausing because I was like, I had a lot of stuff on my mind. And it wasn't all positive. And she said, it's gratitude, isn't it? Right, Donna? And I go, yes, I'm grateful to be here. And I was, even though it was a really tough time for me, I was grateful to be there for a lot of reasons. If I hadn't had that reminder, I probably couldn't have keyed into.
And that's great that you are pausing and expressing gratitude, and that also reframes, your mind for what is to come for the rest of the day. Why don't we talk a little bit about some of the practical explications of what you learned from the book, as well as your share examples maybe from your life and how you maintain balance, you navigate. I mean, we talked about how you navigate challenges, but can you talk about the impact of how mindfulness in your relationships and professional life, and how mindfulness has helped you maintain all of that?
One of the things that happens with all of the technology that we have now and all of the, you kind of about context switching, we don't really multitask at all. We are doing one task at a time. We're just asking ourselves to do it more and more quickly. And what ends up happening is we don't really arrive in any room, really. We are always thinking about the next screen over there, which I have over there. It happens to be blank today. Or the next thing we have to do, or the thing that we have to get, or like a notification that comes on our phone, or whatever. So it's really hard to be mindful in any one moment. And what I have found is that if you are different than everybody else and you arrive and actually give the person your full attention and you make a connection with them, even if it's not in Zoom, even if it's just you remember in your email or your Slack message to be kind instead of the way we normally are, right? Abrupt and quick. If you can just remember that little bit, you stand out and you build relationships, maybe unintentionally in some cases, but you become that place where people can rely on being safe. And that's a big thing in this environment that we're in now. So I think that mindfulness, I will tell you that when I decided to go into yoga therapy training, I would actually sidelined my career. I decided that I needed to be home with my youngest more. And I, decided to take a lateral move, get off the road. And what's funny is, you would have thought like, oh, I'm just going to go off to pasture at that point. But I've been promoted. I've been, continually given more money and more responsibility. And I have to say that it's that mindfulness and that being a safer place, I think, innately than I was before, that has helped my career maybe more than any of the, CFAs and MBAs and all the other certifications. Maybe my yoga therapy training or yoga training was the best money I spent, probably.
That's a very interesting paradigm shift, that you're talking about. Of course, you do have the academic expertise to do your job, but the attitude that you carry and aura that you generate, that has really helped you move forward in your life.
Yeah, because I think the other way didn't help me at all, right? I think I was much more abrupt. When you're unhappy yourself with your life and the internal dialogue is so negative, it comes out. I love the movie A Man Called Otto. It's with Tom Hanks. And he is so unhappy because his wife died. And if you don't know the story, I highly recommend seeing the movie. There's also, it's built on a European movie. But he is so unhappy. It's coming out his pores. He barely talks to anybody, but they can tell just by, we all know them, right? There's people that are just so, or maybe we may be like this sometimes. We're just so tied up in knots. And I think if you're like that, the internal dialogue's so negative and so forth, it hurts you, not just in your career, but in general in life. And I love the story because what ends up happening is a woman literally, he shuts the door on her and she literally puts her foot in the middle of it and won't let him do it. And I'm not saying that you have to do that. I don't think we can really help people except by modeling this behavior. And then they start to want to know what is it? What is it about you? How do you think differently? And I've had that happen, and it's helpful, I think, to model. So the, really, it is all you can do is modeling. Putting the foot in the door is not what I recommend at all. But I do recommend modeling it if you want to change at least your little world around you. Changing how you act with people does make a difference.
On that note, as the beginning of the year, a lot of people said resolutions. I know we've talked about a sober January or wearing red for February. Is there anything, any insights from the book that you would use to continue being consistent with good habits through the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the ones is, because we have this negative dialogue all the time, we tend not to enjoy our lives very much. And I always remember this list, and I won't get it right, but there's a list of things that people say when they're on their deathbed in hospice, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, why didn't I do the things I wanted to do? Why didn't I play that instrument more? Why didn't, and they really kind of boil down to, why didn't I enjoy my life more? And I'm trying to work on that myself, actually. You would think with all this, you know, work that I do that that would be easy, but it isn't. Like, if you're trying to write a book and run a podcast and have a full-time job and, you know, have kids that, you know, always need us, no matter how old they are, and building, you know, an important relationship, you're always going to feel a little bit behind. And I think it's really important to enjoy your life. So I think that's one of the things I'm really working on, is why can't I just slow down and just give myself some time? And I'm sure a lot of people that are listening feel this too. Like, we're busy and corporate life is busy, but I think we owe it to ourselves to enjoy our life more and find those things that make us happy and forget about time. So anyway, that's my resolution. And I think it's important. I think it's harnessing that negative thinking that I was relating to before, and making sure that you put ourselves first and focus on things that make us happy.
That's a very honest confession, because you know, you always look at people who are doing everything and you think that they have it easy, but everybody's vulnerable and have their own set of insecurities that they're working with.
Yeah. And you know, you have to think about it. Like, you know, my mother was did everything, and I was constantly filling every moment. And I want to be able to take relaxation and build that into my time. That's why I put my husband in the top of my list of things, and my kids in the top of my list of things. And that may seem like you should do that normally, but no, we don't. We focus on our career or whatever thing that we're working on, and we forget. And when we one of my bosses once said, you know, he said that it's important for everybody to understand what their real core beliefs are and the real goals of our organization is, because they have moments every day where they're constantly deciding one activity over the other. And you need to make sure that they know what's most important. And I think we're no different, right? We have our own goals and objectives and the things that are important to us. And we get the chance to make many decisions all the time. I can miss, like, my husband and I go see the sunset every day while we're here down in the Outer Banks, because we can do it. I can't tell you how many times when work will kind of come into that 5:15 period when the sunset's happening. And I choose my husband every day. And because it doesn't matter, there's not life and death. I can come back to this thing at 5:30 when I'm done seeing the sunset. The sunset only takes 3 minutes. So I can make that time with him if I make it a priority. And I think, you know, why wouldn't I do that to enjoy my life more? But how many times do we not do that? How many times do we say, oh, it's more important? Because it draws you. Being needed draws us in, but we need to choose ourselves, and everybody will be better for that.
Awesome. I do want to, you know, say that the Untethered Soul offers a lot of practical wisdom, and so did you, and your guidance for individuals seeking personal growth and a deeper connection with their true selves. I'm sure all the people who read this book and apply its teachings in daily life experience a profound shift in perspective and cultivate greater inner peace and happiness. I want to express my gratitude to our listeners and to you, Dana, who you've been a lovely guest. Your curiosity and engagement drives this podcast, and I'm very excited to continue this journey of exploration and discovery with each and every one of you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. It's a joy to talk with you.
Thank you, Donna.